We're in a virtual snowstorm of confetti here in Times Square. It gets bigger and better every year. You see the bottom light? In 20 seconds, it'll be midnight. Get the one that's close to you because midnight is upon us. The new year will be a morning. The wedding has happened in 10 seconds, in 9, in 8, in 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Happy 1994!
What's your name?
My name is AC. You know who I am, goddammit.
Okay.
This is It Happened One Year, a look back at the events big and small, famed and forgotten from 1994.
Hey, everybody. Well, welcome to the show. Brand new. Everything old is new again, and that's 1994.
Very excited.
It happened 1 year. Can you believe it?
I cannot.
I appreciate that we pulled it together to even do this, to really do anything creative during the extended quarantine.
Yes, it's been over a year now, and we are just starting a podcast. It took us almost a year to figure out maybe we should do a podcast.
So that's how the show started some 3 years ago.
We're babies.
Episode 1, talking about Al Cowlings. And folks, you're not going to believe it. We're doing it again.
Okay, we do it again every time, but we're doing it again in a very specific way this time.
Right. It happened 1 year, 1994.
We're back!
94 is back!
Aww.
Oh my God. And folks, you all know why. You know what's going on. This shouldn't, I mean, it might come as a bit of a surprise, but it shouldn't come as too much of a surprise.
I gave that a hearty laugh, and I immediately regret that.
No. I think that's warranted and fair.
It's, look, listeners, I don't want to do this episode. John's making me.
So we have a complex series of fines for the host who doesn't show up for the show. And Sarah's only here so she doesn't get fined.
I can't afford it.
I don't want to let people behind the curtain often. However, today is April 12th, which means yesterday we found out Orenthal James Simpson has finally died.
Kick the bucket.
And this created a weird moment for me. Mainly because of the show. I mean, everybody, I think, has an odd connection to OJ in their lives.
Yeah.
If you've, you know, growing up over the last 30 years.
He figured prominently.
In everyone's life, in some weird way. Like, it's hard to really point to a national figure in America that would be more, that would have some impact on people.
As much notoriety.
Right. Because you can maybe say politicians, but, like, maybe politicians don't matter as much. Or in recent years, it's different, but, like, I don't know, like Osama bin Laden? Like, who else is there?
He's
like
a good comparison.
Like, somebody who everybody knew and had a feeling about, right?
Yes.
Had, like,
even mostly bad.
Well, right, but even, like, something, some opinion or some something. Yeah. I guess there's not a lot of range of opinions on Osama bin Laden. But OJ, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think for us particularly, because of the way season one of this show laid out, we did so much
OJ stuff.
We talked
about OJ a lot.
Even though we never talked about OJ.
We didn't talk about the murders, really.
No. And we didn't talk about the trial, because the trial was mostly 95.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really what we brushed up against. We'd more or less talked about, you know, figures from the trial.
Yeah.
Effley Bailey's got an episode. Yeah. Cato.
Yeah. Our very first episode is about Al Cowlings.
Right. The,
like,
first episode.
Very first thing we did.
Yeah. And then at some point during that year, we went to the crime museum in Pigeon Forge and saw the Bronco, which I believe there's
we
a post of somewhere on the Instagram.
Yeah.
So, you know, OJ, the whole OJ thing is very much tied up in the DNA of this show.
Yeah.
And so,
not intentionally.
No, I mean,
I would say, listeners, we weren't like, what year should we do? I know. Let's do the OJ year. No, that's not what happened.
You know, I think we've talked about this on the show before, but I don't exactly know why we picked 1994 exactly.
Yeah.
Part of it was the movies, for sure.
Yeah.
Part of it was probably OJ, but in more of a glancing sort of way, which is the way it plays out.
There was just
right?
a lot of pop culture that year. A lot
right.
of stuff going on
right.
that people remember.
Right. I think of the 90s years that weren't election years, presidential election years.
Yeah.
I think 94 kind of stood out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, sooner or later, we're going to get back to the 90s in a future season,
yes.
to be sure. Probably a late 90s,
yeah.
But I think 94... you know, is the kind of quintessential 90s
Set us
year.
Up.
Right, in a lot of ways. So, I think I wrote this today oh, in the Deathpool post, that, you know, the de facto star of the first season is OJ.
Yeah.
Even though we never had an OJ episode.
Look, again, we did not intend that.
I am not here to praise OJ. We here to bury OJ. And that's it.
We are.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I thought that we should at least come together, because let's face it, OJ only dies once. And we come together and do one more 19. I've tried to pitch to Sarah before the idea of, could we go back and do a 94 episode? Because, like, something will pop up and be like, oh, we didn't realize, oh, there was that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this. Yeah.
67, the same way. Stuff will just come up
that
we missed at the time. And Sarah uniformly shoots this idea.
I feel strongly that we should follow the structure.
Yeah.
But I am taking a cue from one of my favorite podcast hosts, Mark Maron, who whenever someone he interviews dies, he will do a little intro about them and then replay the interview, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Because, and not to get too far into this, but he talks about, like, oh, you hear this person who has just died, like, alive and blah, blah. That is not what we're here to do today with OJ. That is not the plan. But I did like the idea of revisiting this person who had shown up so much on our first season.
Right. I think that, you know, I think it's warranted and I think it makes sense. If our show had more rigidity to the structure
at all,
or we owed more to the listeners,
I think
it would be different. Yeah. But I don't feel that anybody's going to feel this is so blindsiding that they're like, they've turned this off. They're like, no. Oh, what, we're doing 94 again? No.
And we are people who, like, in addition to our show, have an Instagram page that's called Uh-Oh. They didn't make it.
Yeah.
It was just pictures of graves that we visited. And so I think this is a nice combination of our interests.
You know, we're now plugging an awful lot of stuff that we do on the side here.
Yeah.
So if you want to, go to Instagram.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. They didn't make it.
At uh-oh.
I think if you just search for that.
U-H-O-H.
Yeah. That's the uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Superfantasydeathpool.wordpress.com.
Yep. Check out the Deathpool.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything knowingly undersold connected. But hey, my old blog, Knowingly Undersold, is still out there as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You can email me at... No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, please do also email ithappened1year@gmail.com. Just any of your thoughts.
Anything
you want. Send memes.
Yeah.
If you've got, like, a bullshit joke of the day that, like, your dad sent you and it's, like, you know, kind of inappropriate small town, send that too.
We'll take it.
We'll just delete it.
Yeah.
So what exactly is there to talk about? And this is why we never did this. Because it is sort of like... It was such a famous event. It's such a famous person. And... Everybody already knows basically
everything,
right? So what I thought we could actually talk about, there's a couple things. I think OJ dying didn't play out the way I expected it to.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I never really thought about it because OJ wasn't that old. I mean,
it was a surprise when it happened.
Right. Only being 76, you know, that's relatively young for the modern day. So, like, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise. I did have him in the death pool.
Yeah, of course you did.
But I knew he was kind of sick.
Yeah,
I guess,
he had cancer.
But I had him in 2008, too. So, like, my death pool strategy does
always
not
a good
bear
bet.
This out.
Yeah.
Oh, it struck. He's living too crazy a lifestyle, going to jail, whatnot.
Yeah.
So, I guess I never really thought how the reaction would be in real time.
Yeah.
Did anything strike you weird about yesterday, about the way that that laid out?
I actually thought, like, I mean, we talked a little bit about this, that, like, what are news outlets really going to do? You kind of have to say why he was famous before the murders, but you also have to mention the murders. But no, I mean, for the most part, I think most news outlets were like, you know, acquitted murderer and Buffalo Bill star. Like, it's hard. Like, it's a hard line to walk.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that there was a lot that surprised me. Like, how much about the detail of what that experience was like in 94 and 95 that is, like, all over my social media and my Instagram and TikTok. Like, that surprised me a little bit. Maybe not a ton, but, like, I'm getting pushed a ton of stuff about, like, you know, here's what Kris Jenner had to say about OJ in 2004. And you're like, great, you know? Like, that kind of stuff is resurfacing. But there's not a lot of... Honestly, I haven't read a lot of the articles. I've seen the headlines, but I don't feel like I need to read a lot of the articles.
Yeah.
I did find I got pushed, like, I'm sure a lot of people had this experience, but, like, when it was announced that he died, I got pushed notifications from, like, major news outlets. And then, like, 8 or 9 hours later, like, the New York Times was like, hey, let's push a reflection on the murders and let's remember what that was like kind of thing. But it was, like, way after the fact, like, that night. And the news came out in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that was kind of interesting because they're like, oh, right, let's like remember what the trial was like. That was not great. Like, But no, I mean, I don't know that a ton surprised me. I think news media handled it the way you would expect them to.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there is still something, no matter who the person is, there does still tend to be a tendency in some, you know, regard to, you know, not want to speak ill of the dead.
Yeah.
Which I've never totally understood. Yeah. I mean, again, having the death pool, I've got an odd sort of relationship with this.
Yeah.
In a journalistic sense, even though the death pool is nonsense, it's still, you know, real time, right? So, you know, I think that part of the reason why it came out the way it did, because, you know, you find out he dies in the morning, more or less, and then, you know, it seemed like the day had to catch up to it, right? That, you know, for the most part, it is just early, just obituary and, you know, boilerplate obituary type
Here's
stuff.
Here's facts about him.
But nobody really knew how exactly to work that in.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them, I saw on SportsCenter last night, there was sort of a chronological look at his life, which I think is probably a pretty good way to do it, I guess. And then, you know, everything else was very much just like, you know, that first paragraph, you know, he was a football player and then he became the most famous person in the world for a period of time.
For murdering those people.
Right. For being a murderer. Right.
Totally. It actually reminded me a little bit, this might be a little too inside, so you can cut this if you want, but it reminded me a little bit about when Joe Paterno died.
Yeah.
So when Paterno died, like all the Penn State stuff had like kind of just come out. Like there wasn't that much space between the, what was that guy's name? Sandusky?
Jerry Sandusky.
And, you know, and when Paterno died, but like, we know so many Penn State fans that people were just like effusive about Joe Paterno.
Right.
And Joe, not Paterno, this Joe, wrote this death pool post that was like one of my favorite things you've ever written because it was really this like, no, like, no matter what he did in football, like, this is what matters. Right. And I think it's different with OJ because we had so much time to think about the other horrible things that he did.
Right.
But the same kind of sentiment of, like, people are like, but wait, does the football stuff matter? And the answer is no.
Right.
It does not.
It doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think the Paterno situation, because he had plausible deniability, just because he was an old man who maybe was a little Alzheimer-y, like he wasn't tuned into what was going on. I don't know that that's a great excuse. And yeah, I don't want to get too much into Paterno, but like it is similar. I think there's a similar kind of vibe to it because it's kind of like, how much are we going to deal with that? Now, to your point, there's been 3 decades of OJ post, you know, the murders.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little different to deal with that than Paterno died very quickly after all of that had come out and he had, you know, retired and all that. So I think what I was surprised by, beyond just the way journalists handled it, was the way people reacted to it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe this is just, again, because it's so long ago, and you don't think of it, because it's like, oh, you know, the 90s, 94, you know, again. Like, part of the reason we do this show has a nostalgia bent to it.
Yep.
Which has been, honestly, what's worked against the show at times for us, doing 67 and 84, is because we didn't experience them in the same way.
Too nostalgic. Right. We don't have feelings about it.
Right, but 94, like, we're deep into that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that, I think, is informs sort of how we think about it.
Yeah.
But you look at the internet today and the fact that this happened 30 years ago, I really did get like a lot of videos and a lot of things from like youngerish people who just don't know what OJ was about, like what that really was in real time.
Yeah.
And so I think this also speaks then to the idea that as much as has happened since then with the other, you know, court cases, the civil trial that he loses and then goes to jail for the crazy
robbery
thing, that all clouds OJ for everybody else who weren't already just on board with, OJ obviously did it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say looking back on it. So the OJ verdict, I'm like 16 when that happens. I'm like in high school. But I wasn't somebody who obsessively was into this story. Everybody watched. Like,
everybody
it,
knew about it.
Right?
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, I'm 16. Most of what I'm seeing about OJ are jokes. Is, like, late-night television and, like, Saturday Night Live and, like, stuff like that. So, like, I kind of have a glancing opinion about it. But I wasn't deep into the details of it. I didn't really care. I don't know if I didn't care. I just didn't have, you know, I didn't have enough information to really make any kind of judgment on it. But now you're young. So
I was 12.
You were 12. Like, do you remember feeling like a particular way about any of this that wasn't just horror, but like...
Yeah, I remember all of this happening. Like, I was tuned in enough to news and pop culture and whatever to, like, have followed it-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have... I don't remember... I'm sure I had opinions, but I was 12. Like, I didn't know what I was, you know... Yeah. I didn't know anything. But I remember, like... following the big moments in the trial, I knew who Marcia Clark was. I knew who Chris Darden was. Like, the only magazine we got to the house was People magazine. So, like, I I knew what was going on.
Sure.
And I was going to ask you this, but I remember when the verdict came out, it was in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
They announced it over the PA system at our school.
Oh, we watched it. There were TVs and like...
That's crazy.
Yeah, they turned it on. Like,
right?
It was just such a big deal.
Yeah.
And there was no other, you know, there was no internet. There was nobody had phones. Like, there was no way to find this out.
They stopped school for this. Like, I just think that's bonkers.
Yeah, I still remember like... I couldn't tell you what class it was, but I distinctly remember the room where I was.
Me too.
Like where
Me
I
too.
Was in, yeah. in Hannon when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I think I was in social studies.
Yeah. I think I was in algebra or some... It was a math class because it was the first floor of Hannon, like, right beside the door. But no, like, I didn't have enough of an opinion to say. I remember at the... Like, that day when we knew they were going to announce it, like, saying to somebody... Oh, he's going to be guilty. Like, he's got to be guilty. Right?
Yeah.
And then whoever this was even saying to me, there's no way they're going to find him guilty. And it was like, I just didn't understand. I was like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just had no idea.
Yeah.
And so.
I feel like it was a surprise. Like, I do.
A little bit, right?
Feel like it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. I don't really remember, but that seems familiar.
But see, that's what I wonder about is like the old, like a 90s echo chamber. What exactly was that?
Yeah.
Because where are we finding stuff out?
Yeah. Like, well, the funny thing is like 94. Look, I do think maybe because of the internet, maybe because of our different understanding of the world, whatever, like the things that influence how people thought about the trial were different then they are today. Like Marcia Clark's hair really mattered.
That was a big deal.
Like that really mattered.
Yeah.
That's nothing. Yeah. Like, but influenced people against the prosecution. And then like they thought he would be not guilty, right? Because they weren't doing a good job because she looked a certain way, like that kind of stuff. Like Chris Darden was black and like that mattered and like none of that stuff should matter. You know, F. Lee Bailey was a big deal and that mattered and he was famous and did, you know, it's just the way that we would think about the things that should influence the jury or should influence people, like the perception. It was really the first time I think we collectively went through something like this, really. I don't even know how to fully describe it, but like it seemed like a pivot point in pop culture where like it was one, the start of true crime, which I think everyone can agree on, right? But two, it was like, I think in some ways it was a real reckoning with celebrity and, you know, fame and those kinds of things, not just because of OJ, but because of how the whole trial was treated.
Became a TV show.
Yeah. The fact that it became a TV show.
Yeah.
And I don't think something like that could happen today.
I mean, that was the thing that when I was reflecting kind of on this a little bit was the idea that, and this was sort of what then seeing Instagram videos from younger people or anything anybody was posting, is I don't think the modern way of finding stuff out and having a conversation about things in any way relates to what we were going through with that. Like, and so I kind of said like, I wrote this, I think, in the post, was that, like, if you weren't there, you can't really understand what that was like. Those, like, 16 months from the middle of 94 to October 95 were so crazy because it was such a big show in so many ways. Like, and unlike anything, like you said, like, there's nothing really like that before. And really, there's never been anything kind of like that since. Like,
not that we paid that much attention to over that period of time.
Right. Like, I mean, before that, there really weren't reality shows.
No.
There was just news. You know, you had like 60 Minutes would have like salacious kind of interviews and stuff once in a while. But it wasn't like everybody was invested in something or really was following something quite like this. There's, you know, there were things people were interested in, the fall of the Berlin Wall or Baby Jessica or whatever the hell. But it was all very brief.
Yeah.
And it was all, you know, it didn't tie up so many emotions and tie up so much of the country.
For so long
in the same way. Honestly, until you get to, like, the war. Until you get to, like, 9/11 and Afghanistan and all of that, where then all of a sudden everybody has to kind of reckon with it. Like, you have to deal with it.
And that's completely different because there are, like, global implications.
Right.
Like, and this is a tragedy, but not 9/11. You know what I mean?
No,
not by any stretch.
Yeah.
But, no, I think you're right. The other thing that I think is interesting about, like, what has happened since then is, like, the things that came out of the trial that we didn't expect. So I saw a post on, like, Twitter or so, social media, I don't know, something, where, like, someone was joking with their spouse. Like, we were trying to name the people who became famous because of the OJ trial.
Yeah.
And, like, you can argue that, like, modern-day reality shows exist because of the OJ trial. And, like... And court TV exists because... And Judge Judy exists because of...
Yeah.
Like, there's so much that came from that moment that, like, had nothing to do with the murders or even OJ that just we could never have expected that shape, like, what our culture is today.
Right.
It's really, like, the impact of this is really difficult to underestimate, right? Like, it's enormous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the thing, too, was... You know, you go down the road a little bit from there. 1994, there's a pretty robust cable at that point, so you can have stuff like court TV and things like that. But we hadn't gotten into every channel had their own shows, which I don't think is something people remember. Like, in the early 90s, like, most cable was, like, reruns of other stuff.
Yeah.
They weren't creating their own scripted shows, for sure, and then it was more like Bravo and the Learning Channel, and A&E had a lot of documentaries and stuff like that. But it's only then you go a couple more years, and then you do get into, like, the Osbournes and all the reality shows. The only reason we know any of the Kardashians is because of the OJ trial.
Yeah.
The fact that that's actually connected to this is so strange, right?
It's so weird.
And, like, and not that the Kardashians matter, but in a,
but
in
they
a
do.
Big pop culture, like, sense, they do. Like,
they totally do.
And how much that changed everything once that started. And they're like, this is a way to make money. This is a way to make television.
Yeah.
You know?
Based on a Jeopardy question the other day, we looked up the top 10... people with followers on all of Instagram, and, like, five of them are Kardashians. Why? I don't know why, but, like, it's crazy.
And so, like, that's the thing is, like, the youths of today.
Yeah.
If you don't understand, if you don't remember, like, if you don't know the details of what the OJ trial was.
Yeah.
And what that was like.
Yeah.
And you only really kind of have gotten it down through some channel over the years.
Yeah.
I can kind of understand then where people, I think... There are people under the assumption that, like, OJ was innocent.
Yeah.
Like, which at the time was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, that was, you know, this wasn't a universal blanket thing in 94, but that did really kind of fall down on race lines and basically how much you, how corrupt you thought the cops were.
Yeah.
And this is coming off of Rodney King. So, like, Rodney King's not that far before this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that all makes sense to me. I don't totally get how today... there isn't a better understanding of what OJ was, of what that whole thing was. Not just, like, the cut and dry facts of it, but the aura of it, the kind of situation that we all had to go through with that, you know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he did so much shit after the trial.
That's what I think clouds
to basically
everything.
Well, not only to be crazy and do crazy shit, but to sort of prove that he did it. Like, he basically has admitted it on
a
number of occasions, right? And so I think that's the tricky part about when you, anyone who still thinks he's innocent, and there are people who I'm sure still do, I'm not one of those people, but, like, you have to buy into the fact that he's playing into the fact that he was involved in this to make money. And in so many ways, OJ needed to make money afterwards because he owed so much money to the families.
Yeah, after the civil trial.
After the civil trial. Yeah. That, like, the whole thing with the book and, like, all that was his way to make money.
Right.
And so I think you can tell yourself, and I don't know, like, maybe it's true that, like, he wrote that book because he knew it would make him money, not because he actually did it and had a story to tell.
Right.
Like, you know.
I don't remember what exactly the circumstances were around that book, but, like, there was, like his idea, I think, was to hit, for him to make money off of it. And then I believe the Goldmans got, like, possession of that, publishing-wise, right?
They did. So the story is that he wrote it, he wanted to publish it, he did publish it, and there was such a backlash that the publisher, like, pulled it, and they, like, destroyed all the copies. but then because he had the rights to it, like, those were worth something, and because basically everything he has went to the Goldmans and to the Browns, like, they got control of it. And the funny thing is, you can see the cover of the book that he put out, like, the first version. It's like a picture of him, and it says, "If I did it." And then the Goldmans published the book. Like, they were like, "No, we're going to publish this." And it's like a bloody footprint, and the "if" is very small. And just says, "I did it." Like, yeah. Right? Like, they did that on purpose, right? Because they all believe that he did it.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, and then they made money off of it, which, great. Like, good for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I mean, there were stories going around today that, you know, Fred Goldman's still alive, and he was saying, they put out things in the last day, whatever, to talk about it. But he was saying how OJ still owed them so much money, and that, you know, the interest over the years, it was now something like $130 million.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know what they can liquidate of his estate. I don't think OJ had anything by the end, like, after, you know, going to jail and all of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, no, like, he really went to some weird lengths. But, like, we were talking about this, like, it's crazy that, like, besides that period of time where he was in jail for the memorabilia stuff, which also ties back to the money thing, like, that was, like, totally. It was still tied up in the same thing, that he was just, like, out there. Like, OJ was just in the world.
Yeah.
And
posting videos on TikTok and...
Right. Like, just sort of doing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all strange when you look at it in the lens of, like, this was a guy who killed people, but this was a guy who was acquitted of that, and so just kind of felt like, you know, I can reclaim my life. Now, this is going to be... This might be a bit of a stretch.
Oh, God.
But I look at, like... Like, in the modern day, in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Me Too era, after you go into that, and it's, like, people losing their careers because they did shitty things.
Yeah.
Valid reasons why this happens, right? Yeah. There's not a ton of examples of people who've managed to come back from that. Whatever the circumstances
were.
Like, if they've managed to
work around it.
Right. Yeah, if they've somehow managed to exonerate themselves. Even then, you still kind of think of these people this way, right?
Yeah.
You know, James Gunn, who directed the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, got fired from the third Guardians of the Galaxy movie for tweets he had written or whatever. They sort of then go back and be like, this wasn't that bad. It wasn't that big. Everybody overreacted or whatever. He kind of gets his job back.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of other people, thankfully, have gone away. Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are, it's still coming, right? You know it's there.
Yep.
It's still coming, right? But, you know, but it was sort of like Cosby for the longest time. People just knew.
And didn't do anything about it.
And then it took something to kick it off.
Hannibal did that one thing.
Hannibal Buress came in and solved the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And, like, there's a lot of instances of stuff like that, right? Yeah. People who are just sort of around. Probably not by the time you hear this, but sooner or later, Jared Leto's got it coming, right? We just know this is a thing, and no one's saying it, but it's coming, right?
Yeah.
So, how I think this connects. OJ goes on trial. Everybody sees it's the whole thing. Obviously, he can't go back to being an actor. He's now just OJ. Like, there's nothing else he can do, right?
Yep.
He cost us a fourth Naked Gun movie.
He did.
As a people.
Son of a bitch.
We will never get that. But let's just for a second, just look at this from OJ's perspective, right? Okay.
I don't want to do this.
No,
okay.
I understand.
No, I get it.
I understand.
Yep, I get it.
But, like, you know, this is America, right? The idea is... You go on trial for things, you can get, you know, you get acquitted, you get convicted, whatever.
Yeah.
OJ gets acquitted in the most public way imaginable.
Yeah.
Right? Now, yes, the rest of his life he handles horribly and this, you know, sullies whatever there is from that.
Yeah.
But you take his expectations. What should OJ have done? Like, what else could he have done? Like, it's kind of like... It's almost like he went through all of that to go through and hire all these people and blow out through all of his money and do everything he can to get off and then have nothing. He's left with nothing, right? So what should OJ have done? Like, how differently could OJ have handled the rest of his life? Like, he was never going to confess in any meaningful way.
No.
So what was the rest of his... And he lives another 30 years.
Yeah, I mean... Look, I get where you're going. I honestly think that the civil trial, while not anywhere near what the criminal trial was, had a bigger impact on his life than anything else because it put him in debt forever.
Yeah.
I believe rightfully so, but, you know, whatever. Like, and it is confusing that someone can be held criminally innocent and civilly liable. Like, right. That doesn't make any sense. That's basically just saying that the criminal trial got it wrong.
Right.
Fine. I mean, I don't know. Like, he needed to just go away. Like, that's the only
that was the
thing,
right thing
from a public perspective that he could have done.
Right.
Like, he just... I get, as a human being, he needed to go make money, and he was a celebrity, so the only way he could do that was to continue to be public.
Yeah.
But morally, he needed to go away. Like, yeah. He just needed to not exist.
Yeah.
Not be around. Like, he didn't deserve anybody's attention, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so I have empathy for the position that he was in. Like, that must have been tough.
Yeah.
But I don't have sympathy for it because he put himself in that position by murdering those people.
Sure. So, let's say.
Oh, God.
After 94.
Yeah.
What if OJ did just go back to acting? I know it sounds crazy, but just imagine, like, he somehow scraped together enough support to get in something and does something. It immediately seems crazy. Who would go see an OJ movie? Who's going to watch an OJ TV show? But
honestly,
Louis C.K. still sells out arenas to this day.
No, I mean, in 94, we didn't have this. Like, I totally think OJ could have done that. Like, 100%, I think people would have gone, because he was so famous. Like, it was, and people are gross. Like, it's such a, I think now we do have a, like, I vote with my dollars. I don't want to go see people who have done horrible things. But I think that's a relatively new concept. Like, I think that's a relatively new concept. Yeah. So I think if OJ had made a movie, OJ could have made a movie of If I Did It. And people would have...
Played himself.
Yeah.
People would have gone to see it. Yeah. Like, I do think... I give him credit. I don't know.
At least he didn't do that.
Like, you have to recognize that you have to apply some kind of restraint.
Sure.
When you're acquitted of a murder that you definitely did.
Sure.
So I saw today there's a video that I got pushed on TikTok, because my TikTok is, you know, there were lots of OJ today, of him like drinking and smoking cigars like the day after the verdict came out, and everyone was like, that's inappropriate. And I'm like, okay, well, I would probably be doing the same thing if I was him.
You get acquitted.
Yeah, you just got acquitted. But it's sticky. Like, I think he would have had to give up even more of his dignity. I do wonder if after the trial he wanted to maintain some semblance of, I didn't do it, and I'm a normal person.
Had to put on some sort of show.
Yeah,
if that's had the circumstance.
To.
Yeah.
And to go and then make movies, like, just feels like not the right thing to do.
Yeah. All right. This is also going to be a bit of a stretch.
Jesus Christ.
So, again, let's take all this on the very face value that America gave to us, right? The country that we live in and the way that it operates.
Yeah.
You and I had a conversation yesterday when I was saying about this episode.
Yeah.
And what I kind of wanted to get into. And I think... you were right that I think it would be kind of a tough conversation for us to have.
We're going to have it anyway.
No, I just want to very basically put out there the one part. And then there's not, I don't think there's a discussion to be had.
Okay.
But I think that, and I, you know, this is an oddly formed opinion, but I do think that the way the OJ trial worked and the way that the public reaction to it was sort of presents an idea that the system is broken any way you look at it. Like, if OJ actually is innocent and then he loses his entire life by being declared innocent, that sort of shows that the system doesn't work, right? That, like, you should still have a livelihood. If you're innocent, this is what the court proves, right? If he's actually guilty and he still is found innocent, the system clearly doesn't work, because this is a different level for rich people. This is a different level for anything.
Yeah.
If you believe he's innocent and he still has to go through the trial, then you can blame it on the cops, which is kind of how he gets acquitted.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And so then your faith in the cops is shot and the system still is broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's actually no real right scenario because he gets found innocent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, the problem with that whole line of thinking in any regard is, you know, it's so nihilistic about society and about America and the court system and everything else.
Yeah.
And is it more about celebrity, or is it more about race, or is it more about the cops, or is it more about the government? Like, it's hard to kind of
everything.
Parse out.
Yeah.
Right? And I realized then, once we had this conversation, that it's sort of a dead end. There's not a ton we can talk about there without really getting into everything that's wrong with America.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is tough for us because we don't know anything.
Yeah.
So, what I wanted to basically look at, just real quick. And it actually, the more I've thought about it, I don't think it actually makes a ton of difference. You look at OJ after the trial,
mm-hmm.
the years following,
yeah.
right? Everything since then. Whether he's actually innocent, which seems fairly unlikely,
uh-huh.
or he's guilty, what the trial does to him,
yeah.
right? Psychologically. Right, there's already a history of OJ being sort of abusive, loose cannon.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't a great person leading up to this, no matter what. But let's just say hypothetically he's innocent, as the trial says.
Yeah.
Then look at the rest of his life and the way that he comports himself, but also just imagine psychologically what that does to him. Right. And I was trying to think of other people like this, and again, I don't have great one-to-one comparisons because there's not a lot of circumstances
it's singular,
like OJ, yeah. right? But something where society turns on you in such a hugely aggressive way, whether you deserve it or not, but like you are now underneath that for the rest of your life. Like there's no escaping that. And then what that would do to a person,
mm-hmm.
right? And the only thing I could come up with as a comparison, which I feel bad about, is Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, yeah.
Who has that one real bad circumstance, even though, let's face it, Sinead was right.
Yeah.
But as a society, we weren't ready for anything like that.
Yeah.
And so the world turns on her. And then Sinead does a lot of really crazy stuff
yeah.
for the next couple decades until she also dies relatively young, right? And so that's kind of what I was thinking about with OJ. I don't feel bad for OJ.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, like, look at this in terms of, like, the next day, right?
Yeah.
Like, the day after the trial. He's
yeah.
there smoking cigars. He's thinking, I'm acquitted. Everything, this
yeah.
is all worked out, right? And then what actually happens...
Yeah.
Right? Is it justice? Is it right that's
yeah.
what happens to him? Is that like we all get some vengeance, or like
yeah.
as a society do we feel good about that? Or is it that the system is so catastrophically broken in 94
yeah.
that no matter what happens in that trial, if the person still ends up destroyed, is that a good thing?
Yeah. So I think there's some faulty logic in your premise. I get what you're getting at. But one, I would say if OJ, like, your logic is that the system is broken. If OJ was innocent and he was found innocent, but what still happens to his life happens to his life, right? So, one, I think that's different between the court and the court of public opinion. And I think the court of public opinion could have supported him more if it wasn't so clear that he was guilty, right? Like, the problem is the trial went so wonky
yeah.
and there was so much evidence that he did it that... Like, I think in a situation where he's innocent, but he still goes on trial and he's a victim because he goes on trial even though he's innocent and great, he's found innocent. Like, that is a redemption more broadly. But I think it was not seen as a redemption more broadly because it was so clear that he was guilty. Like, it
yeah.
was so sticky. There was so much question as to whether or not he was innocent that I think the vast majority of people, I would guess, I have no data to support this, but believe that he was wrongly found innocent. And then the civil trial would validate that, right?
Right.
So I do think that is an issue. I also think in both the case of OJ and Sinead O'Connor, like, I don't think you can make an argument that what happened to them was strictly because of that where they ended up was strictly because of what happened to them. I think you have to argue that there are some predispositions in both of them that orient them toward destructive behavior. Like OJ, obviously, like
yeah.
the trajectory. And then like it happened to work for him for a while. He was able to hide the bad shit while he was a football player and as an actor. But like, there was still, within the circle at least, people who knew who he was and what he was doing. And, like, I think that underlying, like, core of who he was probably also influenced where he went. Now, it's probably a combination of what happened to him because of the trial and, like, how he felt and psychologically what it does, but also who he is as a person, which has some very fundamental flaws.
Right.
Sinead O'Connor kind of the same way. Like, I don't know enough about her to really say too much about it, and clearly we did that to her.
Yeah.
But there were enough breaks in the facade, there were enough breaks in who she was and her mental health that kind of led her to where she ended up being, to the point where she would make that stance in a place where, like, even if she's right, there are gigantic consequences for what she did because she should have known that, like, what the norms in our society were, right? And
yeah.
so there was a disconnect from reality there that... And again, I don't know anything about her, but, like, there's something there that, like, predisposes her to take a destructive path after that. Again, no fault of her own, but like, you know. So I do think there is something to, in different scenarios, in different situations, but the same basic like environment, different people would have behaved and performed differently and had different outcomes than these specific people.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Again, this isn't, it's in a neat one-to-one comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of other good like comparisons to this, because
yeah,
usually people's real self-destructive behavior costs them something.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
You know, I think Kevin Spacey's an interesting comparison, mm-hmm. as he never got convicted of anything that yeah. I'm aware of, but he's a pariah.
Oh, definitely.
And seems probably rightfully so, but yep. it's the same thing. I don't know. Like, yeah. you know, it's hard to say. But he's just out there somewhere. You know, and I think that's the thing. In the modern era, we have a lot more of this. It's a lot yeah. more of let's hold celebrities accountable for things.
Yeah.
You know, but even like other celebrity murder trials of the time, you know, Robert Blake or Phil Spector,
yep.
you know, people we know killed people. Like there was, Oscar Pistorius just got out of jail.
Yeah.
You know, there is something to that. At least like there was,
yeah,
there was punishment. There was something.
Yeah. Who was the guy from the Ravens who just kept playing football?
So, yeah, Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Ray Lewis was never convicted of anything. It's always just assumed Ray Lewis killed that guy.
And someone else took the fall for him.
Right.
Yeah.
There's nothing really, you know, I did think of Ray Lewis, but it is questionable. But yeah, Ray Lewis has, like, an actual, like, career.
Yeah.
You know, no, he's never really,
yeah.
There's always been this whisper, but there's never really been anything. Ray Rice, there's videos of him beating up his girlfriend in an elevator, and the Ravens had, like, Ray Rice Day or something sometime last season. Like,
yeah.
There's something, there is, I mean, sports is that thing. Like,
yeah,
we
yeah.
kind of just don't care. I'm kind yeah. of surprised the Bills never had, like, an OJ. I guess OJ was just too big a deal, right?
Yeah.
It was too, everyone was too famous. But
yeah.
he was the most famous player
oh,
from that
totally.
Franchise up until that point by a lot. Like, the Bills
yeah.
were never a team. So,
yeah.
you know, I think that there it'll be interesting years from now to see the kind of youngish Me Too people now.
Yeah.
What exactly their careers are.
Yeah.
Is there, like, how do you rebuild from that?
Yeah.
Even then, and this is not to minimize the Me Too thing, OJ killing those people is still worse.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
yeah,
still,
yes,
like, it's,
yes.
it's a different set of circumstances.
Murder is as far as you can go.
I
yes.
just mean what the public reaction would be. How to
yeah.
do any, can any of these people get back in any sort of good graces?
There aren't a lot of murdering celebrities, so it's hard to find a comparison.
They're not a
yeah.
great comparison.
Me Too is
yeah.
as
most of
as
those
get.
People went to jail. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you know what I was thinking about was the weird Gwyneth Paltrow skiing trial.
No did, consequence.
Everyone did kind of pay attention to that for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah,
but
for a minute, that was something.
I don't
yeah.
think that was her fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, it's also not a great comparison, but, and it's a sticky conversation for us, but Woody Allen has a lot of, there's a lot of question marks about the rest of his career. Again, he's sure. 90 or something,
yeah.
and he's kind of said he's not going to make any more movies, and everybody's like, bro, nobody wants you to make any more
no,
movies.
No.
And his movies are like being released, like, I don't know, in Europe, in Czechoslovakia. Like, there's,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
hard to find, and,
yeah.
you know, it's hard for him to get people to, you know, see his movies.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a story with some gray areas. I mean, I know I might be one of the few, but, like, again, it's not something I got, like, real
yeah,
into
yeah.
the details of
yeah.
for a long time, because I was always, like, a Woody Allen fan.
Yeah.
And I realized that clouds my whole thing.
Yeah. I came with Joe on this for a very long time, until, like, the last maybe 5 years, where I was like, I just can't anymore.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, weirdly, in the modern day, it's like, once they make a documentary about you, like R. Kelly,
yes.
that's when all of a sudden the people will
Everyone
be like, well,
turns.
There's a documentary. It's not just
yeah,
I
yeah.
have to read something like a nerd. I can watch it on TV and find out. Everybody knew about
oh,
R. Kelly.
God,
you know?
I did that too.
That's all
yeah.
it is. That's all it
yeah.
is. And so that's, you know,
yep.
and that's the thing. Is I'm not going to defend Woody Allen, obviously, but like for the longest time, I did feel like this is very much kind of like a he said, she said story.
Yeah.
And that I didn't think had a clear, like, right source of information. So
yeah.
I was always kind of like, having a reasonable doubt is a shitty way to, like, handle this, considering the weight, the seriousness
yeah.
of these kind of allegations. But I just never felt that anything was very reliable, and so I could kind of get by with, Woody Allen still makes pretty good movies.
Maybe. Yeah. You know what I think is interesting, though, is there's a difference between, like, the artist is terrible, but I can like their art.
Yeah.
And OJ, you're just a fan of OJ. Like, sure. He's just running. Yeah. Like, that's all he's doing is scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I do think there's a difference. And, like, I can watch a Woody Allen is a weird example because all of his movies are about him. And he who was the movie with the young girl?
Manhattan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Manhattan's a tough watch
Which is a really good movie.
Great movie.
But
tough to watch.
Yeah, tough to watch now.
Yeah.
But I do think there's something to the idea that, like, if you're a fan of an actor or a director and they do something shitty, you're like, okay, but their movies are separate.
Right.
If you're a fan of a sports person, you're just a fan of that person.
Right.
And like, you can see like their personal life is separate, but if their personal life is murdering people, it's harder.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, this is how I can never understand how people are Packers fans. Anyway.
Agree.
But so, I mean, that's sort of the thing I have with the Woody Allen thing is, you know, I don't exactly know what to do with that. I do feel that, you know, there is something to the idea of like, you know, somebody's shitty, so I'm going to try not to like engage with any of their material because it's hard because then it feels like you really need to investigate people's lives to like their songs.
Yeah.
And that's tough. That's a tough road to start going down.
I did have a friend text me yesterday when she found out OJ died, and she asked me if I read the book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't because I couldn't pay for it. Like, even though...
You don't want to give them anybody money.
Even though, you know, the Goldmans are getting money off of it, maybe then I'd be more likely to do it. I don't think I fully had tracked with that whole story.
Yeah.
But, like, you vote with your dollars.
Right.
And so that's the thing about Woody Allen movies is, like, okay, fine, we have a DVD, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to give him any more money.
Right?
Like, I think there's something to that.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Like, I don't, you know, and again, I think it's just that, like, it's the same thing with, like, boycotting a company for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, well, like, this company supports these politicians, and they gave money to this country that's at war. Like, once you start doing that, you can never stop. Like, I feel like, because otherwise you feel kind of, you must be kind of a hypocrite, right?
Yeah.
To be like, well, I'm just going to do this, but then what about this terrible place? And what about these people, you know?
Yeah.
And I think especially when you start getting into, like, music, like, rock stars of the 60s and 70s all did horrible stuff.
Horrible stuff.
All you have to do is look a little bit, and you're like, oh my God, I can never listen to David Bowie songs anymore. But if you can just separate it enough and then be like, you know, and then I think that that's, I'm not saying that's the right way to handle it. I think that's the way that I've managed to kind of set up this kind of stuff. I still kind of like the Naked Gun movies. I still am going to watch Roots once in a while. Like, it's not, you know, I don't think that, you know, engaging in that kind of stuff, you know, just whatever, the preponderance of other people who were involved and whatever it meant to you at the time and nostalgia and, you know, whatever, I think still has some valid place in it.
I think it's rude to say that there's any right answer here.
Right,
like,
there's
not. Like, it is whatever you feel comfortable with. Like, if you feel like it makes you feel better to not pay to see a Casey Affleck movie, fine, great. Then don't do it. Like, that's great.
Right.
But I also don't think we can judge other people for that kind
of really
engagement. Because, you know, it is, like, art versus artist.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that's really kind of the difference with, like, Louis C.K., where being a stand-up comedian or anything else he did was all about him.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's hard for me to understand why people would still... I don't understand how you would really still find it funny. Like, I just don't get that because it's so much that person. You know, that I don't get that. Like, and I was a big Louis C.K. fan years ago. Like, Louis C.K. was hilarious.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, we saw him. Like, I really was into it. But, like, even now, like, the idea of, like, watching something he made now.
Yeah.
Or Dave Chappelle the same way. Like, I just can't engage with that. Like, I just can't. I mean, like, even if there's, like, jokes in there, I'd be like, I would still feel so, like, oddly offended that I'm doing it, that I would be, I just
stand-up,
can't.
I like, think is different. It's a little bit more intimate.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to, in some ways, connect to who the person is.
Right.
Not to keep bringing it back to this, but, like, Marin was talking about, he was telling some story about, you know, back in the comedy days, and he referenced, like, oh, I was going somewhere and I was with Louis C.K. when that was still okay. And not in, like, a... It shouldn't not be okay now, but in a like, oh, I wouldn't do that.
He said like that version of Louis C.K.
That version, that's right. That's how he said it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I again, like, I wouldn't judge people for watching Chappelle. If you can enjoy that, fine. Like, I mean, again, he's funny still, but it's just like harboring those sort of beliefs and being so adamant about it that it's like doubling down on things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if J.K. Rowling just said one shitty thing once and was like, and so you know she believes this stuff, but she's just all in on it. And it's just kind of like, why? Like, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
I think real, like, comedians who became real right wing are problematic that way. And but it's like, you can maybe find an origin. Like, why did Dennis Miller become this way? Dennis Miller was hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, maybe, you know, he got twisted up in 9/11. It screwed people up, whatever.
Yeah.
But then you just continue and double down on that for decades? Like, it's a crazy way to live. Yeah. Like, it's almost like you have gotten so, I don't know, indoctrinated in the thing that you just can't possibly admit that you were wrong or admit that anything else is possible. It's just strange. Like, and so, you know, I think that that it creates a hard thing for an audience. But what it comes back to really is that thing, is that, like, I don't know that it's fair to necessarily criticize people for still feeling like they want to engage with that thing.
Enjoy what you enjoy.
Enjoy what you enjoy, but it's also like, you know, I mean, because I've kind of said a lot of things along the lines of, like, I don't understand why people would do that, but I don't mean it in terms of, like, no one should do this. I just don't really get it. Like, I really don't understand that mentality.
Yeah.
So, and again, not meaning that it's necessarily, you know, twisted or abhorrent. It's just being able to separate things enough, or just not caring and being like, well, this is what this is about for me. And that's all it comes back to.
I do think it does come back to the medium, though. Like, a stand-up comedian or a football player, you're just getting behind that person and who they are.
Right.
Versus a director or an actor, like, they are trying, though their purpose is to be something, to create something that's separate from them. And I do think there is a, like, it's easier to engage when in the art of someone who is not great.
Yeah.
Than in the stand-up comedy of someone who is not great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a very different experience.
Yeah.
So back to OJ. Do you think he did it?
What if he didn't?
He did. I mean, he did.
No, but here's a question. Let's say they had the civil trial and he was found innocent there. What would that have done for you?
Yeah.
Would that have done anything?
Hard to say. I want to say no, but, like, I want to say no. I want to say no. Like, I'm not rehashing the trial.
Yeah.
The number of videos I have gotten pushed in the last day of him with the glove and, like, oh, I just gotta, I can't get the glove on. But then there's, like, videos of him, like, on NFL Tonight or whatever, wearing the gloves, like, just black gloves and same gloves and just talking. Like, they were his gloves. They were his shoes in the bloody footprints. Like, there's blood in his car. Like, he did it. He definitely did it. There's no, he definitely did it.
I mean, I think, honestly, what worked against them at the trial the most, and this is not news. This is not new information.
Have you guys seen the trial?
Are you familiar with how the trial was? I think the reason so many people were so unconvincible, and this is really just for the youngins who don't understand what this was.
Yeah.
There was never another suspect.
Yeah.
When there's no other suspect, what else are you left with? Like, that's really all it came back to for me. And throughout history, there's no one else who really had any plausible reason to do it.
No. The you number know. Of tweets that like today that were like, OJ has finally laid the killer to rest. Like, they're amazing. Yeah. They're hilarious. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And he was like, gotta find the killer. Like, he's not looking for the killer.
Do you remember, there was a quote from him saying, like, he used to avoid Los Angeles because, like, the killer might still be out there. That was his actual quote.
No.
The killer, like, they were out there and they wanted to finish the job. They want to finish OJ.
They did not.
They were there for OJ.
They did not.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, not good.
Our dentist.
Oh my God, I forgot about this story.
I never saw this. This is something Sarah told me.
This is my experience, yeah. Do you want me
to? If you want to get into the dentist story.
So I go to the dentist.
Don't say the dentist name.
I won't say his name. Yeah. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, nice guy.
We love him. We've been going to him for years. He was recommended to us by somebody we know.
Yeah.
And, like, great guy, right? We're done Invisalign with him.
Yeah.
Many crowns with him.
He's
great. His office is great. Everything's great. So I go to the dentist, and it was around the time that the movie, the People versus O.J. Simpson, the Ryan Murphy thing had come out. And I think it was like, he has magazines on the wall.
Yeah.
And I think those magazines were there. Yeah. Or something. I don't remember. But he comes in, he does the checkup. Like, it's just you have your cleaning, and then he comes in, he looks, and he's like, yep, looks good. Somehow, the O.J., on the cover comes up, and he says, you know, I went to Nicole's house, like, right after the murder happened, and I took a picture in front of her house wearing a black glove. And I was like, weird. That's cool. Like, ooh, yeah, way to go, man.
Weird anecdote.
Yeah, weird. And I was like, oh, yay. Like, it was very awkward. And he was like, yeah, yeah. I took a picture. And I was like, great. So I go to check out. I don't even think you were necessarily going to him, or like, you were there at the time.
I wasn't there at the time.
Yeah. So I go to check out and I'm sitting at the desk. He goes to his office in the back of his dental office. This is not his house. It's his dental office. And he comes out to me and he holding a Polaroid that is the picture of him. And he's like standing in front of the house, holding his hand up, pointing to it. Wearing a black glove, and he was like, hey, check this out. And I was like, oh my god, no, this is not what you do, my man.
What I don't understand is, A, why he has this in the dentist's office, B, how many people has he showed that picture
to? Right? It can't be that many.
Everybody, right?
Or everybody. Yeah. It was very weird. And I was like, good for you. And we still go to that dentist.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
And Sarah will always say to me, like, hey, see if you can bring OJ up. And I never have, because I'm like, that would be so awkward. And be like, just like, hey, and then just see if he does it. Like,
I mean, next time is the time to...
Now it'll be, oh man, did you hear about OJ?
It's going to be a couple months before we have to go back, but I do think you have to be like, hey, did you hear OJ died?
You're like, oh boy, so OJ finally died, huh? And you'd be like... Do we talk about this?
We make zero conversation with him.
None.
Your teeth look good.
Yeah.
I see you're flossing. Yeah. Well done.
I ran into him on the street once when we were going to a play.
Oh, we did,
That was it. Like, there's nothing. And then so, like, these are the two things. So somehow I just got to open with OJ.
Got
to bring that up.
Oh, my God. You have to see the picture. It's intense.
Yeah. And I'm excited. But it's crazy because, like, that house got torn down very quickly afterwards. So,
no,
like, the fact that he
right
has that
after.
Picture. Like,
yeah. He was like, I was in Brentwood.
That must be it. He must have been just so excited. Like, I was there. And, you know, he had it. A couple years ago, for Christmas, Sarah and I went to an antique store somewhere around here.
I've been thinking about this since he died.
We went to this antique store and we're looking for stuff for, you know, for people, for relatives and whatnot, just gifts, whatever we could come up with. And, you know, I don't know, we buy a lot of silly
nonsense,
shit. Like at this point, we've run out of ideas for everybody. Sarah's dad's name is Rich. We see at this antique store, somebody's framed the picture, the OJ mugshot picture.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's in black and white. And it's like a,
it's an 8x10.
It's an 8x10. Like it's in a big frame, right?
Yeah.
But we notice that there's writing on it. Mm-hmm. And it just struck me as odd, but like it's signed, Hey Rich or To Rich.
Yeah,
right?
Rich. Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, you've got to get this for your dad. So we see this and it's like, it's directed to Rich. And I'm like, this is great, right? And I'm like saying to Sarah, like, you've got to get this for him. And like, I think we had some moments like, is this really the thing to do? Be like,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
You wrap it up.
Yeah.
Give it to Sarah's dad. Sarah's dad, who's also a big time golfer.
Yeah.
So then we give it to him, he opens it up. And I think what the text that's written on is about going to play a game of golf.
Yes.
And it's signed by OJ. Now, obviously, this is bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was signed by OJ.
It's like, I'll see you on the links or something like that.
And like, it raises a couple questions.
Yeah.
This was clearly created as a joke for somebody else.
Yeah.
And they gave it to the antique store.
Yes.
Like, you should sell it.
Did not want it.
But my favorite part of this, of course, is that this picture still holds a prominent place in your parents' house to this day.
Totally. Yeah. Right now, I think it's in their bedroom.
Yeah.
On the dresser. But for a while, they propped it up. So my parents have a big picture window that looks out over the front yard and the road.
Yeah.
And they put it there with all the pictures of their grandchildren that they turn on to face the road.
Yeah.
So that, like, people outside can see them. And it was like, child, OJ. And it's wonderful.
In the window for years.
My dad loved it.
I thought it was.
Loved it.
And, like, I don't know if they thought, like, they got the joke of it as much as we did.
Yeah.
Like, they got it.
They got it.
But did they get it? Like, I thought this was the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
It's the greatest thing.
I think that's it for my OJ anecdotes. I think those are the two. Do we have anything else? What else was there OJ related? You got anything else? You don't have a filk you wrote about OJ?
Shut up. No, I don't think so. I mean, no.
No.
No, I think that's all I got.
Uh-oh.
The sirens are coming. Coming for him.
Do you still enjoy the Naked Gun movies? We must have talked about this some when we
did.
Yes. We did 33 and a third.
Look, OJ is not the... He's good, but by far the most important thing in the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you can still enjoy them.
Yeah.
They do... It's different now, but I think you can still enjoy them.
Yeah. I don't think it's that yeah. that bad. Yeah. Also, Norberg gets the shit beat out of him constantly. Constantly. In those movies. So if you're looking for that,
of it, yeah. But like Leslie Nielsen, Priscilla Presley, yeah.
George
like
Kennedy's
gotta,
great.
You
yeah.
gotta just love them and be like, oh, that's right, OJ's in that.
Yeah.
I haven't watched them in a really long time, though.
No, it might be time.
Yeah.
Time to crack them back
on. I agree.
Yeah. I think it was when we did the show. I think it was probably like a couple years
ago.
Yeah. You know, I feel like this was what I was hoping for.
Is it?
Out of the 1994. Okay, to come back to 1994 for a reason, I feel like this was the thing to
do. I deeply felt like we should not do this episode. So
I know. Yeah.
I'm not sure if my mind has changed.
Oh, so I wanted to avoid... There was stuff that we tap danced around for sure. And yeah. I think that... Again, I think there's parts of this that we're not really equipped to talk about.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of it, I think, mostly because of the time
yeah.
and what our age was at the time. Yeah. But, you know, I think to try to reflect too much on modern America in the lens of the OJ trial from 1994 is probably not fair.
Like, I think what we learned in some of the OJ documentary stuff that happened in the last 10 years, less than 10 years, whatever, is... What I didn't see at the time was how connected the OJ trial was to the Rodney King stuff.
Yeah.
And like how some of the jury has come out and said afterwards they have thought about the OJ verdict in the context of Rodney King. And that is what I feel we are unequipped to talk about middle-aged white people here in America.
Well, that's what I was trying to, when we were talking about this the other day, I was trying to say like in the post-George Floyd era.
Yeah.
Does it make more sense that people were on board with maybe the cops did set OJ up? Like, is that far-fetched? Like,
yeah.
And yeah, it kind of is. I mean, there's not any evidence of it, really. It's really very, very minor things. But is it that strange? Because like, it seemed strange at the time.
I would buy in. And this could be the, like, Northeast Pennsylvania, upstate New York upbringing that we had.
Yeah.
It seemed crazy to me that the cops would set him up because why would they do that? Right? That doesn't make any sense. I didn't understand racism, right? Like, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Now, knowing what I know, oh yeah, of course the cops would do that.
Sure.
That makes total sense. Yeah. And I sort of get that. I still think he did it, but like, I get that narrative more than I did before. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, look at Rodney King. Like, I'm a little kid when that happens. That was, what, 92?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I have no sense of anything in 92. You know, most of that I remember is the riots. I don't really, you know, I don't remember as it plays out in real time, right?
So, which like, I think is also an indication of racism in America.
Right,
that
the
know
media
more about
focuses
the riots.
About the riots.
Yeah.
But I think that all of that, in some way, going through that, going through OJ and all of that, then you come to, and not to drag this out, but to, then you come to 2020. So we come to, you know, right at the beginning of the pandemic is the George Floyd thing. And then there were the riots.
Yeah.
And so the riots are what ended the goodwill of the pandemic, if there was such a thing. At least here. I don't know how this plays out in smaller towns or where it was. Yeah. But in Chicago, like... The early days of the pandemic were very much, you know, everybody's home, everybody's isolated, everybody's trying to, you know, be safe or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we also had this kind of collegiate neighborhood thing where it was like everybody's out on the, we are on balconies with flashlights and we're doing all this stuff, right? And that all ends with George Floyd. Like that was May.
Yeah.
Early, June. Early pandemic, right? And so when I think back to the beginning of the pandemic and all of that, like, it was nice, right? Like, it was something. You know, we had something that would help us in a way. Like, because everybody's scared. Everybody was alone in a lot of ways, you know, isolated. And so that was nice. Then all of that happened. Then there was the riot. And a large portion of our neighborhood got destroyed. On a ground level, but destroyed.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, that it made sense.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that, like... this was valid. That this was justified. And there was an easy way, there's an easy way to be cynical about it and to be mad about it and to be, you know, we have so little as it is. Why would something like this happen? Why would this have to happen?
Yeah.
But.
It totally had to.
It was injustice. I mean, it was shit. And there was, it was a lousy thing to happen. And like, so you see the reaction. You can see how this goes. And I think that going through decades of something like this.
Yeah.
Going through, you see everything that happens in LA in the early 90s and everything the way that plays out. And then we get to that. when like everybody's emotions are so high and everything is so heightened.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel wronged about it.
No.
Which was weird. Which like, I mean, figure it's your neighborhood,
yeah.
right?
But
like
yeah.
that I think your initial reaction should be something of outrage.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
No.
I really felt like
yeah.
you know, there was a time for that era to end anyway.
Yeah.
And the fact that it ended with that, I was all right about it. I mean,
yeah.
not that my opinion mattered, but it was something that surprised me in a
yeah.
way, considering where we were at the time.
Yeah. There was the thing that I think about the most about that period of time here in Chicago is there's a camera shop, like, in the Loop, right next to the train. Been there 100 years, like, iconic, kind of just small store, got burnt to the ground in the riots following, you know, George Floyd and what happened in Chicago. And they posted on Instagram, yep, we're on fire, we will rebuild, hashtag Black Lives Matter. And I was like, that's the attitude, like, that's what we need
right.
from our stores, from our community, from our society. And I think that is not the experience that LA had
right.
after Rodney King.
Right.
Right? And
the way the media treated it.
And the way the media treated it. And 94 was not that far after that.
No.
Like, not that long after that. So I was watching some videos today around, like, interviews with jurors, because I've, again, been getting pushed a lot of OJ stuff. And how many jurors were like, oh, yeah, this was payback for Rodney King. 100%.
Mm.
Like, yes, I felt that. Other jurors felt that. That's what this was. And, like, for the Brown and Simpson families, that's not great. But for overall society, fine. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. And it's not... And again, and I think this brings us back, is the
yeah.
idea that, like, OJ's acquitted and still loses his whole life.
Yeah.
That sort of works.
Also good.
That's also
yes.
sort of fits,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
I think it sort of makes sense. The same thing. Like, if he had gotten acquitted at the civil trial, I don't know that would have made any real difference.
Yeah.
If he had somehow managed to afford all the high-powered lawyers he had had before, would it have, you know, and he gets off again, like, would it
yeah.
make any difference? No. But I think that over, like, that's, I think, the key thing over the years that I really came around with on this is that not so much what happened or how celebrities can get away with things or
yeah.
whatever. It's that the division that existed at the time makes a lot more sense.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I didn't think of that at the time. At the time, when
oh
a kid
yeah, no,
or whatever.
No.
Even in the years following, but now,
yeah,
you know, now when you go through what we go through, like, now we see the world the way it is now.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not want to talk about that part of it because I did not feel that. But I thought we handled it. I'm going to evaluate us now.
You're patting us ourselves on the back.
Yeah, thumbs up.
We tried our best. I did. I just wanted to talk about OJ some. I didn't want to talk about it this much.
Oh no.
Congratulations on the supersized episode.
Oh no.
We're back, 1994.
How long has it been?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh.
You'll see. When you hear this part of the show, you'll be like, oh my god, this was too much.
You should cut
none
of
it.
This. Oh god.
I'm sorry, this all has to go out there. This is the final 1994 episode. At least until Al Cowlings dies.
Yeah,
is
probably.
That a thing? Al
yeah.
Cowlings is still walking the earth.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we'll revisit it then.
Bubba Till It Hurts. Is he still around?
No, Bubba. We lost Bubba.
Oh.
Yeah, a couple years ago. Yeah. Before the show.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Consider our 1994 figures. It's a thin group. Kevin Mitnick died in the meantime, who was the hacker.
Kato's still around. I saw him on, like, CNBC,
yeah.
like, yesterday.
Yeah, Kato's still
being
doing
like,
it.
Being like, ugh.
I think Galooly's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Tanya? That,
yeah,
a
yeah.
lot of people still yeah. around from that group. Yeah.
yeah.
So, we might do a couple more 94s as they
yeah,
come
we'll
up.
We'll see.
So you don't have a good, you don't have a song ready?
I, no.
You sure we shouldn't end with a song?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well... thanks for coming along.
Is there a Weird Al song about OJ? There has to be, right?
There has to be. OJ's not part of headline news, right? We would have
no.
covered. We did that. We did that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. There might be. Because that's what the comical nonsense that OJ was in the
yeah.
in the pop culture at the time. That there should have probably
that's
been.
That's exactly what should
the Dancing Itos? Are you kidding me?
The Dancing Itos.
We had it all.
Yeah.
1995? Oh, man. When we go back into the 90s again, we're going to stay away from the
yeah.
early 90s. We'll do the late 90s.
Yeah.
Season 9. Thanks for coming along on this. Next week, or next episode, I assume we'll be back to 1984.
sorry, everybody.
I apologize, everyone. OJ?
Yeah?
Maybe we don't watch The Naked Gun tonight.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. This has been It Happened 1 Year.
Please take a minute to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever they allow ratings. Please follow us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, please follow us on all relevant and irrelevant social media. See ya!
Get some of these. Playing this last game, it's an easy transition. It's like a 6-6 or an intuition. So now it comes down to just one decision. I'll be going up the middle while you suckers be blitzing to the 50-yard line, leaving all you behind. Then I hit the sideline. Better hit your rewind. I'm out here just to show you all. I'm as tight with this mic as I was with the ball. Introduce it to the man.